Our first reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the hand cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Ia mau tonu tāna ki a tātou. And our taronga pai tapu, our holy gospel, is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, beginning at the 14th verse. Praise and glory to God. Te whaka moi miti te karoria ki te atua. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everybody praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Te ronga pai tēnei a te ka aite. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whaka moi matitia ea te kupu mana.
Pater Maria Etefanau, it is really good to be back with you all. It's actually, I think, several months since I've taken a service here. But in some ways it feels like I've never been away, so that's wonderful. Father, I just offer you this morning these words, which some of which at least, Lord, have come from you to me. And Father, I ask that you would open the hearts of all of us here to hear the words that you want each of us to hear, so that we may grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I know that you all like a little bit of history, so I'm going to start with that. So, as we heard in the reading, it was the Sabbath. And Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, and off he went, just like us today, to the synagogue to worship. And he was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah to read. Now, the books of the Old Testament were written on scrolls, and they were kept in a special cabinet that was sometimes called an ark, and they were taken out and put away by a specific attendant. And this still happens in Jewish synagogues today. And the scrolls are actually enormous. I mean, I'm probably exaggerating a bit, but I think they're about that long. And we don't know if this reading was the assigned passage for the day or whether Jesus actually chose to read the passage. But he stood to read the passage, as one did in those days. He probably read in Hebrew, and then he or someone else would paraphrase it in Aramaic, another of the common languages at the time. So, the gist of the reading: the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Well, Jesus rolls up the scroll, and he sits down to teach, and the attendant puts the scroll away. And did you realise that Jesus then kind of had the microphone to speak? But Luke only records one statement from that teaching. Jesus tells the congregation that Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled today. Now, the text that he read was loaded with emotion and meaning for the people. Isaiah's prophecy was understood to be about the coming of the Messiah. The Jews of that time certainly wanted the Messiah to show up. Most of them were expecting a fiery revolutionary who would unite the people, and they would throw out those awful ruling Romans. Then God's blessing and prosperity would once more be restored to the land. Well, wouldn't it? But let's return to Jesus. He's there with his home congregation in Nazareth. They're disappointed. If Isaiah's prophecy is being fulfilled today, where is the proof? Where's the plan to get rid of the Romans? Where's the power to get on with it? Instead, he burbled on about helping the poor and the needy. Oh, what a letdown. No, Jesus didn't give them what they wanted, so they were disappointed. And you know, I think Jesus was disappointed too. He wanted to bless the congregation. He wanted to open their eyes, but they didn't even try to understand. Ultimately, of course, they got angry and drove him out of town. So how does this message apply to us today? If Jesus wanted to bless the congregation then and open their eyes, how does he want to bless us today? And what does he want us to see that we're not seeing now? Let's look first at the obvious meaning. The stuff about the poor and the blind and the prisoners and the oppressed. Do you know, I think today that many people find it hard to believe that God is passionate about the needs of the poor. And he's passionate too about those who are suffering from physical, from emotional, from any kind of illness or any kind of hurt. But does it apply to us? Well, we're not homeless. We're not in jail. We're not blind. We're not sick or hurting. We're not in dire poverty, are we? We're well and healthy, aren't we? Good, I can see a couple of heads nodding. Yes, we are here in church, and we would like something to set us up for the week ahead. Something a bit different, wouldn't we? Maybe we're not so different to that congregation in Nazareth after all. And we're not, you know. I think from that reading, as I looked at it and tried to listen to what the Lord wanted me to say, it seemed to me there's two very important messages for us to grasp. Message one, Jesus wants us to understand that at times every one of us may be poor, every one of us may be blind, everyone may be captive or oppressed in some way. So often that we are all broken and we need the healing of Jesus. You know, we only have to look around to see that we live in a world that's filled with hurting people. There's so many ways that people can be hurt, and most of the world around them never sees their pain. There's physical pain caused from injuries. There's illness or disease that causes a lifetime of suffering. They're the most visible problems, and they're often very debilitating. But there are so many other types of pain, and most of them go unseen. I wonder, you see, how many of us are suffering from some kind of emotional pain right now. You probably do a very good job of covering it up. You've learned how to smile. You've learned how to hide behind your COVID mask and go about your daily tasks, not letting anyone see the real you, the hurting you. We all go through times when we need help to overcome our emotional pain. Sometimes it's parents despairing over their children who've gone off the rails and rejected their values and their moral lifestyle. The parents are distraught, wondering where they went wrong. Sometimes it's a sibling or a relative or a so-called friend who continually says something or does something that can make a child and even some adults feel unworthy, useless, and unloved. And what about bullying and harassment? We know it happens in our schools, in sports teams, in respected places. It even happened to me when I was teaching at university. It can occur anywhere in life where people are interacting with each other. The list of things that may hurt goes on and on. At some time and in some place in our lives, we all suffer from brokenness. And while we need healing, we may be blind to those around us who also need healing. But just as it was in Nazareth that day when Jesus was there, the Spirit of God is here with us at St. Luke's in Waikanae this morning. We've heard the good news from our gospel reading that God is here today. He's here to heal broken hearts, to set us free from any grief or pain, whatever the cause, and to release us from any prison of hurt and suffering that has us bound. Through Jesus, God wants to heal us and set us free. And when Jesus sets us free, we are free indeed. Now that leads me to the second message we need to grasp today. Yes, Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord was on him that day. But before he ascended to God the Father, He gave that responsibility to us. That's the second message. We are called to do what Jesus did. I'm going to repeat that. We are called to do what Jesus did. We are called to see with his eyes, to hear with his heart, and to use what he's given us to bless others. Ouch, I can hear some people say, ouch, I can't do that. No, you can't do it on your own. I can't either. That's why we have the church which is the body of Jesus here on earth. That's what our first reading from Corinthians was about. We're the church. We're not an organization. We're not a religious club. We're a living organism, the body of Christ. And Jesus wants us all to be filled with his spirit and be his conduits for change in a hurting world. Every Christian is given spiritual gifts. So we all have a place in the body of the church, and that allows the body to function smoothly. Jesus wants us to clean up our lives so that we can use our stories, our testimonies, if you like, as examples to reach out and touch other people's lives. We can only do what Jesus is asking us to do when we know that we have our church family, our congregation, all of you, loving us, praying for us, supporting us, and encouraging us. I want to give you an example of the difference that ministry, our ministry, can make. You may have heard of Kintsugi, and we're going to put a picture up on the screen, I think. It's the Japanese art of putting broken pottery pieces back together with gold. It's built on the idea that in embracing flaws and imperfections, an even stronger, more beautiful piece of art is created. Instead of repairing an item so that it looks like new, this 400-year-old technique actually highlights the parts that have been broken, so they become integral to the new design. If we use this art as a metaphor for healing, we learn a very important lesson. In the process of healing the parts of us that have been broken, God creates something unique that is more beautiful and more resilient than it was before. The damage, the hurt, the injuries, the parts of us that have been broken become golden parts of us, and they're parts that God can use. Then, after our time in the repair shop, we are asked by Jesus to go into the world and do our bit to bring wholeness and healing to others. Remember, Jesus said, "Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing." Now, if we fail to respond, if we fail even to offer to pray with someone who needs help, not only are we failing to obey what the Lord has asked us to do, but we're actually neglecting the development of our own faith. Nothing has enriched my spiritual growth more than seeing God transform people after I've prayed for them. And I can assure you that, like the gold bits there, I used to have and still have some cracks in me that are mended from time to time when I'm humble enough to ask. They're mended because by God, to make my life even more useful. So let's finish with asking, how are we going to respond to Jesus? We know that he will provide the freedom and the release that we need. Will we respond with humility and faith? Will we come forward for prayer after the service, knowing that Jesus left his ministry in our hands, the hands of all of us who make up the church? He continues to give his healing, his peace, his forgiveness, his grace, and most of all, his love. Our role is to deal with our own brokenness and then ask the Lord for his healing grace to come through us to anyone in need. When we take our courage in both hands and step out, God answers. Then we're truly serving the world and the community we live in. We are truly being church. So we pray today, Lord, show us where we need healing. And then, Lord, show us how to bring healing to others.